6.
Romans 9, 6.
I'm going to read 9, 6, and then we'll open in prayer and get started. Ready? Okay, Romans 9, 6. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have to study your word together. We pray, as always, for more enlightenment and understanding as we approach your word. And we thank you for those tuning in today. Open our hearts and minds to receive it, and that give us the spirit of the Bereans, that we would search the scriptures to see whether these things be so. We pray for the body universal, that you would strengthen the believers according to their need. And we ask these things as we go forward with thankful hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. Just for a running start, we found out last week from our study that Paul, and he's praying for Israel, that they might be saved. He said in verse 2 that he had a great heaviness and continual sorrow, and he wished that he could himself be accursed from Christ for his kinsmen according to the flesh. And then he begins to tell us why he had that emotion. You know, and one thing about Paul's writings is when you look through, I notice these things, that he is, I'll say, very emotional. When he writes, his heart is definitely in his writing. You can see that when you look at the letters to the Corinthians, to the Philippians. And when you read the things that he says, you know it's not just filler. He's not just making statements. And these things are included by the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost doesn't take away the writer's personality. He uses it. And when Paul says he had great heaviness and continual sorrow, you know he meant that, especially given his background. You're talking about a man who spent his life in the Jewish religion, who had a great national pride, who knew the heritage of the Jew. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he had been taught this from a youth. And that reminds me of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Jewish fathers. You know, Abraham believed God, and Isaac believed God. Well, by the time it got to Jacob, you know, he had some issues. When you go through reading about Jacob, you know, when he had the dream, he was still making deals. You know, he said, if you get me out of this jam, then I'll give you a tenth. Do you remember that in Genesis? Where Jacob, he's like, and even when he was facing his brother Esau, he was still wheeling and dealing. He wasn't quite there on the faith realm. But here with Paul, and I said that because of this, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were the fathers. The promise was sure to them because God had promised it to them. The promise is sure to the nation because God promised it to the fathers. What I'm saying is this: Paul has a great heaviness and continual sorrow because Israel is not what God said they were going to be. A kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And he knew better to know that they weren't what they were supposed to be than him. Because once he became Paul the apostle and not Saul the Pharisee, he realized the reason why they didn't get it. And we're going to find that out going forward. But he says this, in verse 4, they are who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. The position was theirs. God had given it to them by choice. God had given it to them by promise. God had given it to them by election. Verse 5, these promises, all these things, whose are the fathers? And of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who was over all, God blessed forever. Amen. These things belong to the nation. You know, that verse, we quoted it when Christ came, in John chapter 1, when Christ said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. When he comes unto his own, it's not just his own nation, Israelites, Hebrews. He came into his own being. He came to fulfill the promises. Hence the kingdom, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom is at hand. He's coming, he's coming home. He's coming to take his rightful place with the things that rightfully belong to him. As the Son, the image. Now, Paul realizes they did not achieve, they did not obtain, in chapter 10, said, that which he seeketh for. Well, the question would be, well, what happened? And Paul is addressing that in 6 going forward is, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Now, that's the answer right there, although abbreviated. But Paul can say, it's not that God couldn't get it done. It's not that God's promise is empty. It's not that God is powerless to bring about his plan. The fact is, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And then he goes on, he's going to go on, to explain what he means by everybody in Israel is not an Israelite. Or should I say, every Israelite is not the seed of Isaac. Now, even when I say that, you should know, well, there should be some things that come to your mind about Isaac, about Jacob, about Abraham. The wheels should be turning. But if they're not, we're going to try to get them going. And Paul says in 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. And we know, we believe the scriptures. We believe they're God's word. We believe that they will be fulfilled. We believe they have power. We know all the verses. You know, his word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that it's a seed, an incorruptible seed. It has life. It has power. When we look at this, we know that what God sent it out to do, he will accomplish it. It will be accomplished. I think there's a verse in Psalm that said, he spoke these things and it was so. Even from the beginning of the creation. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Guys, when you look through the creative process in Genesis chapter 1, he spake these things, and they came into being. He causes those things to be that are not as though they were. So it's not... it's not that he doesn't have power behind his word. It's not that he can't do it. Again, the fault is with them. And we know why. And we're going to find a little bit more as we go forward. In verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now he's starting to narrow this down. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. I think we looked at that last week when we looked at the Gospels. When Jesus said, Matthew, look back at Matthew. I know you know the verse, but was it Matthew or John? I think it was John. Where he told him, think not to say within your heart that we are Abraham's seed.
John 8:30. You started in 31, but 39 is where he says, if you were Abraham's seed.
Yeah, we did read that, yeah. Start at verse 34. Jesus answered them, John 8:34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed. Now, that's natural. He can say that. I know that you're Abraham's seed, physical offspring. But ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Well, they just said they were Abraham's father, right?
Right.
Let's find out here. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. What's the work of Abraham?
Faith.
Faith. What'd you say, Blake?
Thought it was the law back then.
The law didn't come until Moses.
That's right. It's early.
Okay. Not the law, but faith, right? But now ye seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham, we know, he was a man of faith. But before that, he was an idolater. We do remember that, right?
Yeah.
And that's important. Now, back to 7. He said, neither because they are the seed of Abraham. So we know even when the Lord was addressing them, he showed them that they were not really Abraham's seed, even though they came from Abraham. You know, if you look back at Genesis, you know what God defined his seed would be? Let me say it again. You know how God defined Abraham's seed? Genesis 17. It was a fleshly token of a spiritual transaction. It was a fleshly symbol of a spiritual conviction. Genesis 17. Just rehearsing this, when he says, you're Abraham's seed, we have to look at it this way. Abraham had two seeds. So we look at that. He says in verse 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, I'm just going to drop that on you. Why is he, when he says 90 years old and 9, and Sarah was 90, and it takes 9 months, God made him a promise, 9 months later, you're going to have a son, and that son is, from that son is going to come my seed. And from this point on, every man child that you have, he's going to be circumcised on the eighth day. You know what eight means in Scripture?
New beginnings.
It's a new beginning. Right. They say the resurrection is a new beginning. We're starting over again. Seven is the rest. Seven is the completion. Eight is a new beginning. Verse 12, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. Now, and we talked about this. It doesn't mean a whole lot to us today. But circumcision in that day was it. You could not get around it. That's why when he separated the Gentiles, they were called dogs from then on. When Abraham got that covenant of circumcision, that made those Jews a separate, special people. Now, notice this. What made them special? It was the outward act. But what God is really getting at in chapter 17, he's making this covenant with Abraham because he's already believed him. And he's saying, listen, I know that you believe me, and this is my covenant now. Your seed, I want your seed after you to be just like you. That is, I want them to believe me and walk with me and be thou perfect, just like you are, Abraham. Now, that doesn't mean perfect like sinless. We know what that means. That he wants that faith walk. And the circumcision was telling God that, yes, God, I agree with you. And my son will agree with you. And my grandson will agree with you. And so on and so on. And we just happen to call those people the circumcision. Right?
Yep.
And from that, that's where Paul is saying, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. And those 12 patriarchs begot the nation of Israel. We call them the Jews. We call them the circumcision. Now, if everything went as planned, what would you expect out of the circumcision?
Obedience.
Obedience? You expect them? When they said, Abraham's our father, what would you expect?
For them to be believers and obedient and following the law as a result.
Yeah, whatever God wanted them to do, you would expect them to do it, wouldn't you?
Yep.
Willingly.
Yes.
But when you get over here.
Not so much.
Back to Romans 9. When you get over here, and Paul is saying, look, they had all this. They had the adoption, they had the glory, they had the covenants, they had the service. They had that position that was close to God, that was dear to God. We call it being a son nation, I would say that, to work with God, and they lost it. And the only way they lost it, we'll find out, is because they did not believe. But God says this, and by Paul, he says, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They're not all the circumcision, even though they've been circumcised. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now he's back to the son. That is, and he's going to further explain it, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, there you go, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And we said children of the promise, that takes us back to Genesis, so we're going to have to go back there again. When God appeared to Abraham and Sarah and made that promise in Genesis, start at chapter 21 verse 21:1. Tell you what, go back one more. I'm gonna get 18, Genesis 18, verse 11. And now 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Genesis 18:11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. You women, you know what that means, women?
Menopause.
All right. And verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Let me read that again. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And she's saying, me and Abraham, you know what? Those good old days are gone. It's just about up for us. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Question mark. Now she's eavesdropping on the conversation that God had with Abraham, and he told Abraham, you're going to have a son with Sarah. And she's listening, being nosy, like y'all do. Just kidding. You like that, Blake? I'm just kidding.
You're stepping in it.
You know, like Kanye West. I'm just joking. Just serious. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is no. Like he said, not as though the word of God has taken none effect. If he promises something, guess what? He's able to do it. As a matter of fact, it's to him, it's already done. That's why when our prayer life, if it's based on God's promise, you don't have to be anxious about it. You said, what you mean, promise? If he said it to you, if it's in you acting in faith, if God said, you know what, if this is what I will do, and we believe God. See, and here's the problem is this. A lot of the things that we think God promised, he didn't promise to us. And then you got to read that verse a little different now. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It will be a real question mark. Like, is this too hard? Like, why is this not happening? But when God made this promise to Sarah, in verse 14, he says this, "At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Jenny, you remember that time of life? Do you remember that from way back?
Yeah.
How long is time of life?
9 months.
9 months.
Then Sarah denied, saying, 15, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." I'm laughing because, anyway.
He's like, "I heard you."
Yeah. Okay, same chapter, verse 16. "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Now, we get way back over here. We back over here to Romans. Was the Lord mistaken?
No.
When I say, was he mistaken? He said, "I know him, and he's going to do this with his children." And then you find out over here that, wait a minute, his children didn't turn out so well. You know, he could do what Adam did, couldn't he? He could say, "It's them bad kids you gave me." What, didn't God raise up Isaac? Didn't God raise up Abraham?
Yeah.
Okay, well, God is kind of responsible for this, isn't he?
They're all bad kids.
Okay, now, he said they're all bad kids. That's right. But here's the thing. Verse 7, "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Here's the principle again, that you know how Isaac was begotten? It was miraculous. It was God's choice. It was God's empowerment that did it. And he said the seed is going to be in Isaac. Those faithful, the faithful believers, those who want to walk with him. Now, this is, Johnny, this is a good point here where you talk about, you know, God, when God talks about election and choosing, he never takes away your opportunity to exercise faith. You have a chosen nation, and inside that chosen nation, you still have a seed that is unfaithful and a seed that is faithful. When I say faithful, that is, you have a seed that believes God, and then you have his brother who doesn't believe God. He doesn't, just because God chooses a nation or a vehicle of service doesn't mean that they have no say in the matter. You know that, don't you? You're saved, right? You are chosen. You are chosen to be a part of his program. Do you always do what's right? Well, whose fault is that?
Ours.
Can you say that, well, the Bible, the scriptures don't work? There's no power in the scripture. Can you say that? Or can you say that with in honesty and with conviction that the scriptures don't work?
Nope.
No, they just don't work for you because you don't believe the scripture. So they don't work effectually in us. Verse 8. That is, he's going to explain what this means by being in Isaac. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The promise was that he made to Sarah, I'm going to come and give you a son. And after that, those, just like you believe, Sarah, just like Abraham believed, Isaac believed, and Jacob believed, and they were supposed to pass it on to their children, so they would believe. That's when he said the children of the promise, this thing was supposed to go on and on where they would know that you can trust God. Now, I'm going to say this, when and it comes up in verse 17, when God made that statement to Abraham, to Genesis again. Go back to Genesis one more time. When God told Abraham what was going to happen in to his seed, in Genesis 15, he says this, verse 13, Genesis 15, 13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. Now, 400 years, that's a long time, isn't it? That's four generations, roughly. Do you think truth could be lost in four generations?
It can be lost in one.
It can be lost in one. Right. So what I'm saying, and think about this, just us. Do you know your great-great-great-great-grandfather?
No.
Nope.
You know your great-great-great-great-grandmother?
Mm-mm.
No. So think, whatever they taught, chances are you have no idea what it is. Unless it's recorded, right?
Right.
Now, that's important. So when I'm saying that, because you have how many how many Hebrews in Egypt do you think remembered God?
Not many.
Not many. You know what? Look at Exodus chapter 3. Now, we say not many. How about not any?
Oh, wow.
And yet, Johnny, they were the chosen nation.
They were looking at their circumstances.
They were, let me ask you this. How many do you think practiced circumcision in Egypt?
Not many.
Anyway, there's some, just something about. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. Start at verse 6. Exodus 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father. He's talking to Moses. God is talking to Moses. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, just to show you, Moses is the deliverer. And he's going to have his problem with circumcision. He didn't even circumcise his kid.
But didn't his mama teach him early on? But then he got, prior to him being weaned or whatever at age 8, he had received the truth or...
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Come
is
back to it like the Bible said, like you were learning. Okay.
Look, Abraham's parents were Levites. You know that they were like the chosen tribe to serve God. They were, you know. Now here's Abraham, or here's Moses, whose parents were Levites, who hid him by faith. And here's Moses, who they said, they told him, look, you're a special baby. God's going to do something with you. And Moses didn't even circumcise his own son. I'm saying that to show you how faithfulness can wane in just a small time. Well, you know what? Well, Exodus 3. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses, yeah, I will say this. I'm saying for you who have children, you know that their conviction does not match your conviction.
Yep, too many influencers out there today.
Okay. And verse 6, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I'll just keep going. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know who Moses was?
Well, he would...
Nobody. He was just chosen. God just chose him. Why did he choose him? Because that's who he chose. He chose him to be the deliverer. He's working this. This is his plan. Verse 12, and he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. That's the kingdom they're going to before it's even called the kingdom. The land of milk and honey is the kingdom for the Jews. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, we know exactly who he is, we've been waiting for him.
Yep.
Wait, no, they said, and they shall say unto me, what is his name?
Who this?
It's like Paul on the road to Damascus. Who art thou, Lord?
Yeah, I guess what I'm showing you is this. God chose that nation.
They don't even know who he is.
And they don't even know him. He chose them. It was not because of anything that they did or didn't do. It's God working some things out after his own counsel. Because this is the servant nation. This is what he chose. And he made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I'm going to use your people. They shall ask him, they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Now, and God, 15, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, And this is my memorial unto all generations. Now, and we know that just means that God was ready and able to do what he promised. And you can trust him. He was able to get it done. And Moses, he could just showed up and said, hey guys, it's time to get out of here. The God of your fathers has told me the time is now. And because, you know how the seed goes, because they're just now, they're only the children of Abraham. Blake, they're not the children, they're not Isaac's seed. They're just the children of Abraham now. So the lesson is going to be hard. See, right now, they have just physical circumcision. They don't have, they have the token, but they don't have the heart that was before the token. You know what I mean? Like if you join a club and they say, you know, when you join this club, you're going to be a donor. You know, we're going to give you, for faithful donors, we're going to give you a badge. So if I see the badge, then I'm going to expect you that you have been a faithful donor and that you will continue to be. Well, if you get a badge by deceit, you never gave anything, are you really a member of that club? Only in name. Not in heart, not in practice. So just because you get circumcised, you're only circumcised by the token. Your heart is not in it. So when these people come out of Egypt, their heart is not in it. They don't even know who the Lord is. This is the people that we're talking about when you get back to Romans 9. This is who he's talking about. They are not, these are the children of the flesh. So the chances are the children of promise are few. The believers, the true believers are very few. And that's happening today too. When you look out, the masses, they're children of flesh. You say, wow, I don't believe that. Okay. You're talking about a lot. They carry scriptures. They sing about scriptures. They even give. But to walk with God and be thou perfect, very few have that conviction, that desire, I would say. It's kind of like, in the meantime, we'll do this or that. Or if I have time, I'll do this or that. But it's not on the forefront of our minds to serve God, to know who he is, to walk with him. Back to Romans, he said this, that is, in verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That counted, that's, you know, that's the word we get for imputed. That is, those, the promise is this, they will walk in faith. And the faith, you are imputed as a child of God by faith. Back to Romans 4 brings that out. Look at Romans 4. And that's what he starts off, verse 4, or chapter of Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, look, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, circumcision, was counted to him for righteousness.
His faith.
Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, it was counted, imputed unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted, there it is again, is imputed for righteousness. Look, you have faith, you believe God, he says, I'm putting that right to the bottom line of your righteousness. You believe me, I'll count you righteous. Okay, look at verse, and we just read this, look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now here's, this sets the stage in chapter 9, where Paul is explaining to the Jews how the Gentiles got into this picture. How you got out and how they got in. How Abraham was definitely not their father, the Gentiles' father. How did they get in our spot? And Paul is going to explain it, and this is part of it, that Abraham is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know how you can go from a dog to a righteous believer?
Faith.
By faith. By quickening, your faith is imputed to you. Righteousness, and righteousness is what quickens you.
In fact, in the Gospels, when the Lord called the Syrophoenician woman a dog, but she continued on, he said, how great was her faith.
Right. I have not seen so great a faith. Not in all Israel. Faith is, that's the big word, is faith. Verse 18, who against hope, this is talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, Abraham, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Two dead people. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, there's that promise again, that he was able also to perform. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Has the word of God taken none effect? Now here's the key. How God's word works is faith is a key to unlocking it. Now I'm not saying this magic potion faith that we talk about today, where you know what, just believe God and it's going to happen. It's got to be based on his word.
Right, because he specifically says what he had promised.
What he had promised.
Not what Abraham what I imagined. Would like. Yeah.
You know, what we use that, prosperity gospel. They just, you know what, you have to do this, you have to...
Name it and claim it.
Name it and claim it. Thank you. I couldn't think of that. Yeah, name it and claim it. You know, I'm not claiming that. I'm claiming this. Okay. I'll give you an example. The children of Israel, when they went up and searched that land out that God told them to check out, they went up, came back with a bad report. And the Lord said, well, you know what? Since you don't believe me, you're not going in. And they said, oh, okay. We changed our mind. We believe you. We're going to go up and get it. And Moses and Joshua said, don't do it. Don't go up now because he's not with you. And they said, no, let's go, let's go. And they went anyway. And you know what? And God gave them the victory. Not. They were beaten. They came back beaten. Because the promise was withdrawn.
Nope.
They didn't believe, so he took it off the table. Now, there's a lot of things today that God has taken off the table that we still try to make him deliver on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'll let you work that one out. Okay, now, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. He didn't say all, he didn't write all that just for Abraham. He didn't tell that to Abraham. He was giving that for an example for those who would follow after, that faith is the principal thing. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. For without faith it is impossible to please him. 24, it was written, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, when you believe that, that's a transaction, an irreversible transaction of faith that puts you in the family of God, imputes to you the righteousness that's needed for God to look at you and say, you're my child. And nobody can take that away. Not even you. Now back to 9. That's how Paul is going to explain that this is how they can be the children of Israel, but yet not be the seed of Isaac, because they didn't operate in faith. Verse 9, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. We just looked at that. Now, and he's not only setting the stage for faith, but he's setting the stage, and here's the synergy of our relationship. God is faithful, and you believe God. God can make a promise, and you can believe him. God can have a plan, and you can work with him. Not the other way around. Not you make up a plan, and then God help you out. That's not how it works.
Yep.
It is, he's doing something, and then you can help. Like Adam. When God puts him in the garden, he says, I'm doing something, and you, my son, you can help. Or not. And he goes through, and he's making this, he takes the nations, and he pulls out Abraham, and he says, I got a plan, Abraham, and you can help. And then he says, not just you, but your seed is going to be the ultimate helper. So he passes that on to Isaac. And Abraham says, Isaac, my son, God has a plan, and we can help. And Isaac passes it on to his son. He says, Jacob, God has a plan, and we're going to help. And Jacob tells his kids, God has a plan, and we're going to help him. And then they say, who's God? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
There's a problem. There's a disconnect right there.
We need some remedial education.
What's that?
We need some remedial education.
Yeah, you know, you got to go back right. You got to go back and get a refresher course. Like, what are we doing here? And the refresher course comes throughout their whole history. With the judges, with the kings, with the prophets. And we're going to find out going forward, but we're going to stop in verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Just like he picked the time where they would have a child, he picked that time when they were out of the way, when they didn't have anything to do with it. They were just instruments being used by God. See, when Abraham did his thing, you know, that turned out with Ishmael. When Isaac did his thing and Jacob did his thing, it didn't turn out too well. That's why we're going through this passage and we're going to find out that God does the choosing for service. You don't jump up and say, pick me, pick me. Or, like he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before me. You know what he's saying? Pick him, pick him. No, you had a lot to do with that, Abraham. That I can't use. So we're going to stop again, like I said, verse 9, and pick up there next week and go down in the passage. So we're going to close out with prayer here. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We pray as we go forward, as we're taking slow steps in your word, that the truth of it might come forth for us to appreciate how we are being elected to participate in your purpose and plan. And we just thank you for recording these things for our edification, for our enlightenment. And we thank you in advance, as always, for the edification that comes from the reading and believing of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.